All right, we got my fave, JoJo Diaz Jr. up in the house.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
Number one fan. Oh my God. Okay, so this is the second time he's on the Stem Cell Queen podcast. We had to bring you back because you got your fight.
Yes, yes.
So finally, man.
I know, thank God, thank God.
I'm so pumped, man. I see you in class and I'm like looking at your stats. You know, you're going to do more than me. I feel like competing. I'm training with you, man. Like, yeah. Spiritually battling with you, mm-hmm. Like I'm praying for you. I got, you know, everybody at the cycle bar freaking pumped up over there. Yeah, like
yeah, it's been a crazy spiritual battle, but spiritually, mentally, and physically as well, man. But I'm very thankful that I had the right people around you, my girlfriend, just everybody that has just inspired me, man. Even the negativity, even all the bad people, I thank them for, you know, putting me through everything that I run through to, you know, be the best version that I am today.
And, well, you thank God for that, right?
Yes, exactly.
You thank God for the trials and tribulations that you went through, because what I see is that you made it through. Not only did you make it through, but you made it through at a young age where your career is still like, dude, you're looking the best you've ever looked.
I know. I know.
Like, dude, how are you not pumped every time you look in the mirror? Like, how do you feel, man?
I'm hype, man. I just try not to get, like, super hype because I know that, you know, I am still human, so I don't want to get overconfident.
Well, you're not egotistic. Yeah. Like, you're not egotistic. Like, when you walk, though, like, I remember the whole conversation of, like, if you're a champ, you're a champ when you roll out of bed. You're a champ early in the morning. You're a champ late at night. You're a champ when you look in the mirror. Like, if you feel like a champ, like, the world is going to know that there's a champ, right? Because exactly. You're going to produce. But if you can't be the champ 24/7, they ain't even going to be that in the ring. And you were like, I got this, you know? And this is the first time ever that you weren't, like, drugged and pushed and just like, oh, this is what you're going to do. JoJo's going to do this in camp, segregated and all this stuff. You did the shit on your own.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I mean, you're working out the most, your legs, your ankles, your calves, your glutes, your freaking hips, your abs. Like, you're doing burpees up in the hood.
yep. Triple OG, shout out to my boy. We got everybody just, you know, motivating me and pushing me. But, like you said, I did this on my own this time. But it wasn't on my own. It was God that really, you know, just gave me that momentum and gave me that drive and gave me that vision to just realize, man, of who I am and what I'm capable of doing. And I'm just thankful, man. I'm
happy. Who is this guy? Because this ain't the guy that wasn't making weight, man. This guy is never, he's already at weight, you guys. Like, this is like never seen before.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really.
I know. And I think God, I mean, I usually, man, the past 3 years, I was mentally just all messed up. I wasn't, you know, walking the path of, you know, holiness. And I was, you know, caught up in just a lot of things that was just overwhelming me. And it made me, you know, not really focus on what I needed to accomplish and what I needed to be in life. And I was going down the wrong route, man. I was drinking a lot. I was doing a lot of drugs and I wasn't taking anything serious, man. I literally wanted to give up and I lost hope. And I thought it was over for me, man.
There's
a
lot of excuses, right?
Yeah, it really was.
For yourself.
Yes. And then once I started realizing, like, man, like, this is all just thoughts in my mind. Like, I could change everything. I changed my whole reality by, you know, just sticking to the game plan, sticking to my diet, sticking to the word of God, and just doing everything that I need to do. And I'm just thankful that, you know, I'm very, very focused and I know what's at task. And I'm ready to go out there no matter who's in front of me now. I'm going to go out there and demolish them.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to be right on the other side of those ropes on February 15th at Commerce Casino. Dude, I am, like, hyped. I think about it every freaking morning because it gets me out of bed like, dude, like,
it's getting closer. Like, it's getting closer. I know. Yesterday night I had a dream of just, you know, the fight and just everything going on. And
oh, you got a vision?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of visions lately, man.
Because you're getting more spiritual.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like God is just giving me the vision and giving me the, you know, the guidance of what I need to do. And
that's how it happens to me.
And how I need to approach things. Yeah, how I need to approach things. How I need to approach people.
So what? What do you see? What are you seeing? Like, what, like, tell us what's,
oh, I see,
so you got the belt, you got another belt. Like, what are we doing? I see, 135, 145.
I'm going to make weight at 135. The guy that I'm fighting is a 147 originally pound fighter. Yeah. He's going to drop down to 139. The fight is contracted at 139, but I want to showcase to all my fans and to all the people that didn't believe in me, all the non-doubters that, you know, I can make 135, and that's
really to you.
Yeah,
you're showing yourself.
Yeah, it's to myself, and just to showcase to myself exactly that I can make that weight like I've done before. Yeah. It's just now that I'm disciplined again and I'm focused and I'm not distracted anymore. I know what I want.
But I've never seen you like this, Joseph. Like, even when you were young and you were fighting and you took the belt, like, the world title, I've never seen you truly healthy. I mean, talk about mind, body, spirit. You are there. Mm-hmm. You're on fire. You could feel it. And there's a true happiness there. And you're doing it while you got a newborn.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you ain't getting no sleep.
Nope.
You're still waking up. You're devoted. You're waking up for these 5:30 a.m. cycle classes. Mm. You show up with a smile.
Yep.
You know, grabbing Charlene's bag and shit. You know, like, is that a purse you're holding? You're like, yeah, I just threw my shoes in it. You don't really care what nobody freaking thinks. Mm. Like, you're focused. You show up to church. You're like, damn, that was a good, like, gospel that they just said. Like, I've never seen this of you because it's just never been there. This is a new JoJo.
Yeah, this is new improved Joseph, man. And I'm just
like, it's awesome.
Yeah, it really is, man. It really is. And I just, you know, I just want to be a light to not only myself, not only to my kids, but just to everybody that is just involved and everybody that watches me and that has seen me throughout the years. I just want to be that light to people and just show them that no matter what you guys are going through, man, just block all that out and just focus on what you want. Talk to God and he's going to give you that light and that positivity. And once you start walking that way and once you start believing in that aspect of your life, everything's just going to start falling into place. And that is what happening to me now. And I just, you know, gave my life to God and I just knew that I couldn't do anything alone. All by myself. I couldn't do it alone, man. I needed help. And he put the right people in my life with you. He put Charlene. He gave me my beautiful baby girl and my baby boy that I'm able to see still. So I'm just very, very thankful and I'm happy. And I just want to showcase everybody that all things are possible if you just believe.
Well, you are going to definitely showcase. And I can't wait to see because you've improved so much on your hips, your lower body strength. You know, we were talking about it before. We would see your legs just, you know, barely moving on the ring.
Yeah.
And you were still able to take the belt like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is now your feet are bouncing around up in dude. You got strong ankles. You're on your toes the whole time. Your endurance is like, I've never seen. I mean, you're going to go all rounds. Like, you're going to be ready for more.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for whatever this guy brings. And I'm hoping that he's training hard. And I'm hoping that he's, you know, not taking this lightly. Because if he is, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see this performance. But let me circle back around and let me ask you this, JoJo. What was that moment when you were in that dark place of despair and you wanted your life back? In that moment, what did it take? How did you wake up? How did you have this moment of like, you know, hey, I'm going to turn to God. Like, what did it?
It was everything. I lost it all. I lost it all. I had a lot of people that I thought that were for me turned against me.
Yeah.
I lost all the money that I had. I lost everything, dude. And, I was going down a road. Either I would have been dead or I would have been in jail for me just snapping at people or just, you know, doing the wrong thing. And I started realizing, like, in my life, I started, like, just thinking. I looked in the mirror and I seen myself all jacked up, all hungover and sad and just anxietied out. And I just started saying, like, man, like, I've been through so much stuff in my life. I don't deserve to end like this. My life doesn't deserve to end like this. And my son and my daughter don't deserve to have a father go out like that. So that right there really made me, you know, put my foot down and just stop all the bullshit that I was doing. And I started realizing that I couldn't do this alone. So I started going to church a lot. I ended up, you know, moving in with my girlfriend, Charlene, and her parents, which they're very, very hard Christians. And they believe everything to the T in God and in the Bible. and just seeing how they live and just being around that, you know, holiness, it really, you know, it really made a difference in my life. And it really, you know, put that perspective and put all that evilness that was, you know, bombarding me away. And now I'm able to, you know, just block out all the distractions. I don't even get tempted anymore as, you know, how I used to with the drinking and stuff like that. I don't do any of that. And it's all because of, you know, the God.
And then I know there's like been a couple hard days, right? There's been struggles, you've been tried, and there's tribulations and stuff like that along the way. Mm-hmm. And on those days, I remember you specifically texting me saying, "Nah, I'm good because I got prayed over." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is just, there's days where you're sending me Bible scripture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, it used to be vice versa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, here's this person that's inspiring me. I once used to inspire you. You're inspiring me now.
Thank you.
You know, you show up to cycle class 5 minutes late and then you're like, let's go. I'm like, how are you going to talk shit, dude? You just showed up. And then your numbers are like just cranking out.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see like how far you've come, and I could see like where you're going to go. And I'm excited for the Commerce fight, but I'm even more excited for the fight in Vegas after that, because we know it's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, who's it going to be? Are we going to do Ryan Garcia? Mm-hmm. Like, well, what's this fight going to be? You know, like,
yeah, I mean, I want to take care of what I have at hand. But, you know, I know that God is going to work tremendous, you know, wonders in my life. And I know that he's going to put the great opportunities in my life to just showcase, you know, what I'm all about and what God is all about too, yeah, man. And you could overcome all the evilness, man. So
you want to hear something funny?
You what?
So like, okay, this is for the viewers, right? Because yeah, me and him were already there. And it's like, it's 5:30 a.m. cycle class with our boy Eric. Okay, he's always talking shit.
Yeah,
he's coming on the podcast soon. This week, actually, tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's coming tomorrow.
Okay.
So this guy had no idea what God had in store for him. He just started a cycle and then ended up becoming an instructor. But this guy got a mouth on him. He's so funny. He talks shit. Even when JoJo, like, say JoJo doesn't show up to a thing, he'll come right in front of my bike and be like, go, Raquel, go, 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 go.
Yep.
And then turn to JoJo's bike and be like, go, JoJo, go, JoJo. And he'll be like, oh, wait, you're not here. Like, he just talks so much shit, like, yeah, nonstop. He'll text us at 4:30 in the morning, 4 a.m. and be like, let's go, get your ass up. Like, he's one of the best trainers. He's got the best feedback. His energy is so good. And I love how he inspires people, mm-hmm, you know, in just being him.
Yeah.
So we're there. This is the class. Like, JoJo was like, whatever, I'm going to come to a cycle class with a bunch of moms. Like, the first time he ever went, I kicked his ass. And I was like, you ain't no world champ. What? Yeah. And he was like, dude, there was this girl that looked like Serena Williams that was behind him. And it's kind of like a stadium type thing in the back. So JoJo's like, dude, she was behind me. She's like, what the hell kind of class is this shit? You know?
Dude, she was a beast, dude.
She was like tree legs trunks that were just like massive. And the bike looked so little on her.
Yeah,
and she's
sure,
like, go, 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 go. And JoJo's like, what the hell, dude? He's got his ass beat. And I'm like, this is why we got to get your hips stronger. We got to get those glutes stronger. We got to get those legs stronger. Everybody underestimates cycling. But like, dude, you're doing like 12, 13 miles on that bike.
Yeah. And under probably 40 minutes, the class is 40 minutes. And I mean, it's not just, you know,
on resistance.
Yeah. It's not just one gear. I mean, Eric has us, you know, pushing, man.
Push, so push, push, push.
I'm really thankful that I entered that class, because it really, you know, brought out, you know, the strength that I have in my legs. It triggered that. And now I know
that what I'm uppercut, capable of doing. That uppercut, bro. That uppercut.
Yeah. And even like when you're going through that pain in the cycling class, when you're just burning through that pain, you can still push. And I use that now when I'm in the ring. When I feel that pain, like when I start feeling fatigue, I'm like, man, this is just the beginning, dude. This is barely me getting started. I'm just activating another level of energy.
Yeah. And it's gotten stronger, and you could see it in your video recordings that you've been releasing. Like, oh my God, you're so fast. And I know that was going to help. And so I'm so thankful that you listened to me and you came to that mom class. Because I was like, dude, now you're beating everybody up. Let's go. Talking all this shit up in there to all those moms.
And not only that, man, they're all motivation too. Yeah. I mean, everything that Eric always says about all the people that go in there, man, it's very inspiring for me too. And it motivates me as well to, you know, see these people pushing as well. So it's just a good environment in general.
It's a really good environment to be around, to start your day 5:30 in the morning. I highly recommend it. You guys, I make sure, if I could do more classes than two, I do. But Tuesdays and Thursdays are my day with Eric. And I will tell you, my week needs it. I don't know how you feel when you miss the class, but when I miss the class, man, I'm like, I'm not the same that week.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. I need that, you know, like, you know, say it's about a little under 30 miles. So like maybe 13, I do between 12 and 13 twice a week. I mean, that's like freaking really good.
Mm-hmm. But if you miss a day, you feel like you missed out on yourself.
I feel like I did. I feel like mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I'm not, my week is not as good. I don't feel as strong.
Yeah.
I feel so strong. And I'm talking about like cycling is not just abs. And like he does upper body. Dude, those little bars.
The little bars.
They freaking kill you. And then some days he's all wilding out. Like grab the both bars. I'm like, grab the both bars, dude.
You know, I say less, man. Let's get it.
And then I'm so competitive. I'm like, I'll grab both bars, you know? And then it's like, I'm just doing this shit. And I refuse to like fail because I know my body can do it. Uh-huh. So I don't care how much I'm burning.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm doing this shit. I'm next to a champ. I ain't going to fucking lower the bars.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's right. That's
and you're
right.
Like whispering shit like, let's go, let's go. I'm like, dude, I ain't dropping my arms. Like, you know, I'm training right alongside you, you know. And it's just, there's a girl next to me. She's crazy, dude. Like
the girl next to me is crazy too. Yeah.
She covers her shit so she don't want to see her stats.
Oh, okay.
And she just keeps cranking up the resistance. Damn. But she does two of those classes back to back every morning.
Every morning?
Oh, yeah. She's like retired life. But I mean, like, could you imagine doing that in your retired life? That's the one that hit 500 rides.
Oh, damn. She's crazy in shape, dude.
Yeah, she's in hardcore shape, you know? But I was talking to her and she was telling me, yeah, I have like all these issues with like her skin is like breaking out, kind of like they thought it was like food allergies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I was explaining to her about doing the liver detox and all this other stuff, like regulating. So it doesn't matter how much like you work out, you could still not be healthy.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You know?
And I mean, I'm exactly the prime example of the past 3 years. I was, you know, training. I'm a hard worker, man. I've always been a hard worker ever since I was 11 years old. Ever since I started boxing, man, I've always been a really, really hard worker. My dad was a hard worker and he just taught me to always work hard. So I always had that, you know, work ethic. But what was, you know, holding me back a lot was, you know, my health, everything that I was intaking, all the stuff that I was intaking, thinking that I was still going to be able to perform at my highest level. It was all wrong. It was all wrong. And I didn't realize that. I thought everything was, you know, I thought I was going to be, you know, good by still doing that. But turns out, man, I learned the hard way. But I needed to learn that way because if I wouldn't have doubted like that, then, you know, I wouldn't have learned it. I probably would have still been continuing to do the same things that I was continuing to do. So it's just all a learning lesson. And now that I'm, you know, doing everything right, you know, you have me on with all the vitamins that I need to be taking, the activated charcoal as well.
That's a big one.
Yeah, yeah. The activated charcoal really, you know, helps out as well. So I'm just, you know, covering all my bases so that way I know when I'm in the ring, there's no doubt in that.
So you're healthy from like the inside out, dude.
Yes.
Like you've been doing those liver detoxes. Mm-hmm. Like you had no idea. I mean, you trusted me.
Yeah.
You were like, I don't know what this does, but what do I need to do? You know, and your dad was like, hey, is this stuff safe? I'm like, bro, this is so much safer than what he was doing. He's drinking and shit. You're gonna ask me what the adverse reactions are to activated charcoal. I love your dad now. He's like, you cool as shit.
Yeah, yeah. My dad, he's just always trying to look out for my best interest and wants the best for me, man. So he gets concerned, man. But at the end of the day, man, all the knowledge that you have, it's helping me as well.
Because he trusted it's making me perform. Yep. As well as you did, because that was one of the barriers, is like Daddy Bear was right there,
yeah,
which like he always is.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves his son. And the thing is, like, to get, most people had a hard time working with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, he's always got your best interest in mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know they just, I think Ben Lira just did that whole thing of like dads and sons that work together, you know, and the, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know what really I mean? Is. It's hard working with your family. But the thing is, the intent there was really good and I understood it and I worked very well with your dad and now your dad loves me.
Oh yeah.
And your dad's sure, like, yeah, he's seen it and like, he's a man of few words, but like, you know, he's like, damn, you'll be looking good.
Yeah, as long as he sees the change and as long as he sees me doing everything that I need to be doing, he's happy. So I'm glad that everybody's happy. I'm the most important thing that, you know, is my concern is making sure that I'm happy, because if I'm happy within myself, then everybody's going to be happy around me. I'm going to be the, you know, I'm going to be the best partner. I'm going to be the best dad. I'm going to be the best son. I'm going to be the best fighter. So what I got to really focus on is just making sure that my mind and my mental is, you know, protected. And I've been protected by, you know, just praying constantly every single day.
God has really just done a change in you.
Yeah.
And I asked, let me ask you a couple quick questions, and you can give me short answers or go into depth if you want. It's up to you. Take it wherever you want.
Okay.
But like, you weren't a big spiritual person prior.
I was a little bit.
Say a little bit, like what?
Like I believed in God. I used to pray to God, but I wouldn't, you know.
Conversate.
I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't be going to church as much as I was. And I was still, you know, following the devil's traps. Listening to what the devil was telling me to do. Oh, like, it's okay to drink. Oh, it's okay to party. Oh, it's okay to do this. And I was just so overwhelmed with like the little evilness talking in my ear. I wasn't really
constantly being tempted.
Yeah, I wasn't really being fully devoted into, you know, what God wanted me to be.
But I don't really feel like you had that real relationship with God, because you were constantly asking or just telling him, like, it was, you seen him at a distance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
for sure.
Now you're having full on visions. You're talking to him. You're spiritually filled. Mm-hmm. So you don't need, it's almost like the person becomes alkaline. They no longer want sugar. It's like you don't even have a need or want to do that life anymore.
Nah, it's insane. It's insane how
you look at yourself now and
sometimes even when I think back of it, I'm like, damn, man, I was doing all that shit, man. I'm a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Dude. It's insane, dude. Insane.
Well, I even think you got all offended when I first started working with JoJo. I'm so blunt, you guys. Like, so blunt.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking all this shit to him, dude. Like, and I wasn't, like, I knew him, but I wasn't close to him like that, you know? And it was like, JoJo, you look like shit, dude. You're all overweight. And he's like, what?
there was one time we were here and you were like, JoJo, You look like you gained weight. I'm like, man, I'm actually lower than when you see me last time. And then now that I look back at it, dude, I'm all fat and ugly, all freaking hungover. It's insane.
Dude,
I was lying to myself. Yeah. I was lying to myself because I was thinking that was going to be okay. And I didn't know any better.
Yeah,
I thought that was going to be my fulfillment of happiness, you know, just continuing to just go down that route. And thankfully, I just thank God that I was able to, you know, see better days, and now I'm able to, you know, do what I got to do February 15th.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, when I come across these cases like this, you know, God spoke to me loud and clear. It was like, I want you to help JoJo. You know, that was why I had reached out, and it was like, JoJo, you know, I had already worked with you in the past, but I'm like, I'm here. I did what God wanted me to do, reach out to you and stuff. And it was like God's timing, right? Mm-hmm. You were like done. You were already at that point, probably crying out to God saying, you know, like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I would say for me coming on the opposite side, you know, I have, my job is to change perspective.
Yeah.
And you posted something the other day and I was like, so proud of you. And I'm like, he gets it.
Yes.
You know? And it was like, to be able to change perspective, you know, is like everything. Because if you can change perspective, then you can have a whole nother situation. That's what I wanted you to see. I really wanted you to look in the mirror. And we did a couple of, like, everybody always jokes and says, like, I'm a therapist. But it's like, I just understand and get certain things.
Yeah.
And it's like, I see a lot of sick patients. And I see some mentally and just spiritually. And I know how to be well-rounded when it comes to that. And so I think with your whole situation, I really wanted to change your perspective and for you to actually be honest with yourself, to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what do you really see?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
What do you really, really see?
Yeah.
And so what I felt like was, you know, I knew that you were going to look at yourself in the mirror and I knew that you were going to actually see the truth. You know, you were going to see that you were like, yeah, I'm a world champ, but like, you're not really a world champ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really weren't giving your full effort. Mm. You really weren't giving your all to yourself, you know, being honest with yourself. And I remember telling you, I said, you know, and it was a very motivational speech. And I think at that point, it was like where you really understood that I got to look at myself in the mirror.
Yeah, for sure. And also, what you were saying about the perspectives, I was taking a lot of people's opinions on me as well. A lot of people's opinions on me were just crushing me, dude. I was just, you know, just getting more and more crushed, man. And instead of me looking, like you said, in a different perspective, I was looking out of a small little lens. And thankfully now, man, with everybody that I have with me and me going to like the 90 day alcohol program.
That Which you did on your own.
Yeah, and I'm still doing. The guy, William, shout out to my mentor, William, as well. He's actually helping me as well, trying to look at the bigger perspective, trying to tell me like, yo, you don't need this substance. You don't need this substance. It's only all in your mind. If you just start looking at the bigger picture on things, then you're going to able to realize that you don't need it. And once I started, you know, taking all these classes and started doing everything right that I needed to realize how to get the best version of myself, That's what I did. And I started looking at the bigger picture, and man, it just brought out happiness with me, and it fulfilled me, because now I know what I'm capable of doing, and now I know my vision, and I see my vision, and everything is just coming into alignment to fulfill that vision. So
we took control over yourself, which is the only thing that we can truly control. And because of that, you've controlled your life and your decision making, and you're no longer, you know, just saying, okay, well, I'm just going to let things go. Like, or I'm not going to control myself in my addictions.
Yeah.
Right. You were able to say, no, I'm done with that life.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be the product of that environment, man. I'm not going to be, you know, a has been, I'm not going to be that for my kids and just for myself. I want to make sure that, you know, I achieve greatness and I achieve the purpose that God has for me, for not only myself, but for, you know, my kids, because if I do it, then I'm going to be able to inspire my kids, and not only my kids, I'm going to be able to inspire all the people that are following my journey and my career. And by doing that, I have to, you know, just stick to the game plan.
If you had any advice for somebody that maybe was dealing with addiction, because it's like we often talk about it, but people that are viewing this that are dealing with different types of addictions, you know, maybe gambling, it may be alcohol, it may be whatever it is, right? Yeah. Like they're using that as a coping method. And to get out of that, it wasn't easy. And so we talk about it like it was easy. And it's great to hear the success story. But somebody that's at home that drinks a lot of alcohol and it doesn't know how to get out of it, even though they don't like that about themselves, like what advice would you give them since you overcame this?
You guys are not alone. You guys are not alone. Everybody, a lot of people deal with this, and you guys just seek God and just visualize what made you come into this point and what made you come into, you know, this point of addiction, what triggered that. And once you start figuring out the little steps that are starting to trigger your addictions, like little arguments or the people that you surround yourself with, or just like little situations that you go and hang out with, you know, at a bar, where you shouldn't know that you shouldn't be putting yourself in those shoes. I think after you start realizing the little temptations and the little steps that you're going towards that addiction, once you start, you know, rewinding that and erasing all those little, you know, steps that you go, so you're going to start seeing changes. And you're not going to do this alone. It's, trust me, I know that you feel alone. I've always felt alone when I used to, you know, wake up hungover after like a long day of drinking and feeling like I'm just trapped and I'm just trapped by myself and nobody's feeling what I'm feeling. And that's not the case. That's just the evilness that is, you know, trying to get to you. It's more of a spiritual battle than an addiction. And it's the devil that is trying to, you know, crumble you. He's trying to take your soul and he's trying to just break you. And just seek God. If you guys seek God and put God first, trust me, everything's going to fall into place.
You know, I know what exactly this, I remember now what we were going to talk about. 5:30 a.m. cycle class. We get out. We just finished a really good workout. And I grab my phone because I leave it in the locker. Mm-hmm. I grab my phone and I pull it out. And we got your promoter freaking with the last post, freaking naked out of the hot tub, right? Yeah, with the Holly covering his schlong. And I'm like, bro, you guys switch places. I love Oscar, by the way. You know, I think it's super cool. I think he's living his life right now. He put in a lot of hard work, and he's somebody that is allowing him to express himself however he wants. And I think it's all good. Yeah. But I think it's funny because you were the crazy freaking guy. One, yeah. You were the crazy fucking guy. You know, it was like months prior, like fucking pictures coming out of you, freaking covering your schlong all half naked, whatever. Like, you know, and it's like you guys totally switched spots, even though he's not battling with the same exact thing. But it's like right now he's in his crazy phase and you're like in the freaking focus. It's 5:30 a.m. You're like, damn. Looking at that picture, you're like, all right, I see you.
And Oscar De La Hoya, he's a great, you know, mentor. He's, you know, helped me, you know, live my dream. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for Oscar,
he gave you another chance.
Yeah, man. If it wasn't for Oscar and Golden Boy Promotions, man, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, keep on continuing my dream.
And I will tell you, he was once the young kid.
Yeah.
That went through the same shit that you went through. And exactly. So I think when he looks at you, he can read straight through the bullshit of like, does this kid really want it?
Mm-hmm.
So he knows. I'm sure he's watching all this shit.
Oh, yeah.
The last fight that we were at, I remember in Texas, in San Antonio, he was like, all right, he's got that potential to come back. I seen it.
Yeah.
I seen it. And even then we had put in so much work, but it was so little time.
Mm-hmm.
We had so little time of like pulling it together.
I know.
I think it was like,
did it, still,
it was like a month or something that like I had just came back into your life. And then it was like your trainer at the time, Daryl, was like, hey, can you do this? Can we pull it off? He's looking at me. I'm like, looking at your health, like, damn, I don't know if we can. Uh-huh. But we pulled it off and you did it. You still didn't make weight, right?
Mm, no, I didn't.
And it was just too short of a term. And that's when you were training back then, that's when I said, dude, you're overweight. And you were like, what the fuck? Like,
actually, my last fight, I was fight week, I was 158. I was 158
on fight week. I remember.
158 pounds. And the fight was supposed to be at 135 pounds. And
dude, you almost died.
I dropped a lot, man. I dropped. I went to 141, but after that, my body just gave out. But the reason why it gave out is because all the unhealthy stuff that I was having in my system.
Oh, dude, like body. It was bad. Like you guys, it was bad. Like
I almost died out there in Texas.
I promise you.
Thank God I did it, man.
I promise you, when I seen the back end of like, you know, seeing what the fighters go through and dropping the weight and all that stuff, when I walked into that hotel room, I was like, We don't need to do it like this.
No.
We need constant health.
Mm-hmm.
Your cells need the nutrients. We need to get the diet right. And this needs to be a way of living.
Yeah.
And it was like, really, because I cared, it was like, this is what we're going to do, JoJo. This is how we're going to change things up because we can't do this. This is too much fluctuating. Like, I mean, I literally almost seen you die.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you couldn't even intake fluids after.
No.
You were literally like trying to drink them and then you were throwing them all up.
Yeah.
And so people don't get to see in the back end what these fighters go through to make that weight. Mm-hmm. And then they're penalized so heavily for it that they're like, everybody's depending on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, you never penalize your team for you not making weight, but I'm sure never. Other people do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when people get penalized, then they penalize the team as well. But with me, man, I mean, I'm a nice guy, man. And
you're too nice,
yeah,
JoJo.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
You're too nice.
They're gonna get paid what I promised them. And it was my fault that I, you know, was doing everything that I was doing. So I was going to take the cut.
You
and
took
I,
the hit. They didn't
lost,
take the hit.
Man, of making missing weight, man, I lost over like $1 million missing weight from all the fines that, you know, the
net. I wish it was around back then. You could just pay me the mil.
dude, $1 million, man. $1 million.
Could you imagine, guys, now, like if he's looking this great and you're looking fly, man, you're looking Like you're gonna beat the shit out of whoever comes into that ring.
Yep.
Like I'm like, whoa, what's gonna happen, man? Like, cause you're just gonna keep going. We're talking about like, you gotta do a dance after you knock somebody out. Like, if you knock somebody out, you better have that dance down, dude.
Yeah,
cause
yeah.
I'm gonna be doing it with you. I need to know those moves.
Yeah. It's gonna be a movie.
I'm so excited for what the future has. Not only that, but like I seen you back in South Amani, you're like impacting the youth. You went back to the youth boxing center in South Amani. And I was so happy to see that. Like, I no longer have to ride you. I used to have to fucking ride you. I used to be like, JoJo, where the fuck are you at? I call your freaking girl. Bro, his phone's dead. He turned that shit off. I'm hunting him down. Where is he at? Like, I mean, he used to have to find you. You'd be like, yeah, I'm here, you know? And it's like, Now I don't have to do that. No. Now you're blowing me up and I'm like in podcast filming. I'm like, bro, I'll talk to you later. Bro, I'll talk to you later. I can't talk right now. Like, dude, he is on it, you guys. Like, I mean, living, breathing, freaking on it 24/7. I call him. It's like, I remember the first time you made it to cycle class, you were fucking with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where are you at? And you're like, oh, dude, I barely woke up. And I turn around and you fucking walk in. I'm like, dude, I'm like, kick your ass.
And I went back to Almani literally this past weekend because I ran at Lake Lake, and it was cool, man. But my girlfriend, she wanted for me to show her where I lived, where I used to live, and where I grew up at. So I just showed her all like my whole city and where I used to train at, and I went back to the old gym, and then I showed her my house, and then when I see my house, man, it really just brought back memories and. Yeah. I was just seeing everything like the product of me growing up in, and it was just a good awakening of just knowing where like everything that I've been through and what I'm going through and what I went through and where I'm going. And it's just all a part of the journey.
It is. And we don't want to forget. That's the part, that like I just recently, it's just something that became really clear to me is like learning all about ketamine and learning about the brain is that the subconscious stores, the brain is storing all memory from birth all the way up until now. Like whether you think you remember, you got bad memory. I don't remember any of that stuff. It's very vague to me, whatever. I only remember after age 5. It doesn't matter. The brain is storing all memory, all of it. Like it's tape recorded. And whatever the eye seen, it recorded it. Whatever heard, it recorded it. And so the thing is, all the trauma is still there.
Yeah.
And so you don't realize why we're so damaged. And then we try to ignore it. Or so many people say like, I don't want to revisit that. I think that the best thing you can do is revisit it and demean it. It's like, it's almost like, you know, if you were sexually abused, go back and not face it or the people who have done it, you know, but like the situations. It's okay to remember the situation as far as demeaning it, right? Yeah. Because we did that exercise together. We talked about this of, okay, what is the most pain that you've ever gone through? I want you to tell me the whole story. And as you tell me the whole story, I want you to come back an hour later and I want you to tell me the same exact story with more detail.
Yeah.
And the second time, first time, there's crying, there's all this emotion. Second time, it's like maybe more anger, there's no crying. The third time, you're like fed up, you're leaving details out. The fourth time, it's like, dude, I don't even give a shit anymore, you know? And it's like, because the only thing that's left is the fact. Yeah. And the thing that you can demean and get over is the meaning that you put on why that happened.
Exactly.
Right? That's where the pain comes in, is because we put a meaning on it, right? We're not worth enough. Or why did this happen to me? Because God didn't love me good enough, right? Whatever the meaning was that we put on it, we need to change the meaning, right?
Yeah.
Like you went through what you went through so that God can use you to impact other youth members of the community.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and I remember praying over somebody just recently, and I remember casting out like anxiety, casting out depression, casting out fear, all this stuff. And then right when I was about to cast out, like, you know, take these childhood traumas out of this person, God stopped me in my tracks and was like, nope, you're not taking that out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I can't cast that out of people. And it was like, nope. Why wouldn't you want that casted out? And it's like, because that was there for a reason. Okay. Then I went to church this Sunday and I heard loud and clear in church. I heard loud and clear. I heard God say, this is where they heal. This is where somebody heals from the meaning of, and they realized that they had to go through the trial and the tribulation. There's so many stories of that in the Bible that they talk about. It's like these people had to go through it, but it's like God had meaning for them. He had purpose for them.
Exactly.
And so we all have a purpose. We all have a meaning. And literally the whole scripture that day and the whole sermon was about that God is there in troubled times. He's still there.
And everything is temporary. What you're going through, the success, the negativity, the evilness, the trials and tribulations, all that is just temporary. But God is forever. Yeah. God is eternity.
He is. And we're made eternal.
Exactly. And if you put him forward, he's going to be able to, you know, forgive all
you
that.
You know, did you know that the spirit has an actual weight?
No, I didn't.
When the body, like when you say the body dies, right? When a person dies, that it weighs less, that the spirit actually has a weight to it.
That's crazy.
Like, we, this is like scientific evidence that we know when the spirit is gone out of the body. So you, when you talk about mind, the conscious is like a storage. It's like an AI computer CPU. Mm-hmm. It stores everything, and then it has memory to it, and then it relates certain signals with that, right? Like, fears come from it. Like, you're like, I don't know why I'm afraid of heights, but I am. Well, the subconscious is directing the conscious to be afraid of heights because it's protecting itself from something, right?
Yeah.
So we have all of these traumas because we don't want to face anything. That's why I keep saying, let's do ketamine. I think ketamine would be great. You know, these ketamine treatments are freaking awesome. The only thing it does is it brings back up what is stored in the subconscious. Like, for instance, I seen myself being born again.
Okay.
I physically felt what it felt like to be Rosalie, like where my head couldn't move because I was.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, I was like, I want to see my mom. I want to see my mom. And I couldn't. They wrapped me up and they handed me to my dad.
So it's kind of like a dream that you go through?
It's like a dream. It's a full on dream that you go into, but you're fully conscious that your body's there. So it's nothing fearful or anything like that. Although I do say that you maybe can have like your most, you can face your fears in a ketamine treatment. You know, they can come up. Not to say that, like, maybe you're seeing stuff. Like, I, for instance, I seen as a little child, I seen somebody come lay next to me and I don't know who the fuck it was. And I felt like a predator, but like, that was what my brain remembered. Right. And I always felt like, have I ever been sexually molested? You know what I mean? Like, that scared me. And then you wouldn't know. So maybe somebody facing that is like, oh my God, maybe that did happen.
Oh yeah.
Then your body's able to accept it. Your mind is able to accept that. Okay, maybe that did happen. It was gone. I'm glad that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, for instance, I had this fear of the ocean. I love going out in the ocean, but I won't go out in the Pacific. Like, it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to go to clear waters. That's why I travel to Bahamas and Phi Phi Islands, yeah. Thailand, Hawaii. And like, I'm always out in Koh Samui, like the beautiful waters, because I could see.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they tell me, like, shark's going to come bump you so fast, they'll be gone. It's like, I still could see them, you know? Like,
yeah. So it's not that scary.
I was swimming with stingrays, all kinds of stuff. Totally fine. But scared of deep, dark areas. And so that was in my ketamine treatment. I was being drugged down to the bottom of the ocean. And I felt my body just being okay with it. I was like, oh, well, it's not that bad. I could still breathe on the bottom of the ocean. Like,
that's insane.
My spirit was just like there, my conscious state. And I was like, over it. I'm wearing a snake today. Like, I was always afraid of snakes. I became a snake in my freaking ketamine treatment. And I felt so badass. I was like, damn, I'm snapping. I feel how strong I am. So the conscious state, I realized, like, even snakes are conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I even asked my mom. I said, Mom, in my ketamine treatment, they handed me directly to my dad. Did that really happen in real life? And my dad was wearing, like, scrub, like this blue scrub over top thing with the hat, the cap, and the face mask. I'm like, did he have all of that on blue? And she goes, yeah, back in the days, they used to hand you straight to your dad, not to the mom.
What?
And I was like, so this is real. That was an actual trap footage that actually happened, you know?
That's
so
insane.
So the body has a way of working out your fears, because obviously it was never a snake. I mean, I don't think, maybe I was reincarnated as a snake or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, maybe. We never know, you know, like how deep life goes.
Yeah.
Maybe I was that reincarnated snake, and that's why I didn't like snakes, because I was killed as a snake. You know, who knows? You know what I mean? But like, I'm no longer afraid of snakes. I don't care for them. I don't like them. They disgust me. But I've conquered that fear where I'm not afraid of them, because I understand that they're also conscious.
Yeah.
They have a conscience just like I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not their fault that they're a snake.
Yeah, and they're fearful of you just like
exactly.
You're fearful of them.
Yeah. And then so I do feel like ketamine like opened up where but I also was at the state where I was ready for it.
Okay.
I was ready and I feel like you're there. I feel like you're at the point where you're like, dude, you're going back to your old place. You're like facing all your own fears. You're demeaning everything. You're saying, hey, I can create, I can make things mean whatever I want them to mean. I feel like you're in that place where you can belittle whatever has happened in the past, because there's the meaning to it is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's right when it's perfect for somebody to do ketamine. I feel like where it's not is like, you see some patients, they're not ready for that and they don't want to do ketamine, and they'll tell Dr. Jason, like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. It's too fearful. I can't face that. But the thing is that they're dealing with it every day. And they don't realize it, because then it goes back to coping. And then they're drinking the alcohol. They're smoking the weed, right? And and they have nothing, no issues with smoking weed. I smoke weed. A lot of providers smoke weed. You know, especially here in California, it's legal. And we put cancer patients on CBD, THC. I mean, it's so much better than popping pills. But anything is bad if you're using it to numb something, right? If you're not numbing pain and you're using it to numb your feelings, then it's bad.
Then it is bad.
Like I tell my kids all the time, I would much rather you smoke weed later on in life when you need it if you're in pain. Like, why would I have you doing morphine like Xanax or why would I do that to you? You know what I mean? And I've explained it, but we come from a background where, like, even when I was young, I was born in 1984, but like back in the 90s, early 2000s, that was bad. Like, if you did weed, you were doing drugs.
Exactly.
And it's like, now it's not that, you know? And weed is not for everybody. Some people, it causes more anxiety. For some people,
It causes them laziness. It causes them, it causes a
depends
lot of...
Depends how you're using it. If you're using it as a coping method, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with drinking. Like, it's okay to occasionally drink, but, like, if you are not mentally, spiritually there, you can't do that. And my thing is, like, once you become so clean spiritually where you're just like, you're in such a good space right now that you don't even have a want to even look at that shit. There's almost like an anger there of like, the devil used this as a tool in my life.
To ruin my life.
So like, I'm never going to go back to that again. You know what I mean? And so like that for somebody like you, you should never look back at that.
No,
you know what I mean? Because that's like something that tried to take your life. For somebody like me, I could have an occasional drink because it doesn't mean that to me.
Exactly.
It didn't try to take me out. Like, I would never become that alcoholic. You know what I mean?
And I thought that, and I thought that I would never ever do that either. And sure enough, I ended up being that. And it was just turning myself and turning my life into, you know, into a bad, just a bad life, man. And, me starting to realize that even now, when I start realizing all the freaking drinking that I was doing, dude, like, it's just insane the amount of money I was spending, the stupid decisions that I was doing. Don't get me wrong, I was having a good time, and I did have good times too as well with alcohol, but there was a lot more bad times than there was good. And for that, I can never go back to it.
Well, they always say the devil's out to steal and destroy, right? And he's there to take souls, and he's just there to like just...
Oh, he's going to find anything. If I already know...
He was trying to take you out, dude.
I already know he's going to try to come up with something else, man. But I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever he brings.
Well, because God is protecting you. And so they always say, if God is for you, who can be against you?
Exactly.
Right? And like, you are strong, and you're like... They say you're either filled with one thing or another. So God is a God of many names, right? So I don't care if you call him Allah, you call him God, you call him, you know, whatever you want to call him, because, you know, God created all people.
Yep.
You know, and so my whole thing is like, I don't care where you come from, but like if you're filled with his spirit that he left here for you, then you're filled with him. If you're not filled with that, then you're filled with something else. And in the fruits, and you judge people by their fruits. That's how you know. That's how you know. So if somebody says, oh, God this, God that, but they're still doing other things, they're not filled with God.
Yeah.
And you know that. And I know that. And so that's what I encourage. I encourage you, and I talk to my friends all the time, and I encourage them too, because they're going through a bunch of issues. And I just say, look, everything in life can fall apart. You can lose everything at any point. But if, you know, if you have God in your life, it doesn't matter, because you're on his plan, you're on his will.
Yeah.
And if you built your life, if you built it off of his foundation, expect for him to tear that shit down.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And when he builds you up, it's on a foundation that can nobody shake.
Break down, yeah.
And so I always tell people all the time, I'm like, if he tore your foundation down, it was because you built it up. You might think you're bad. Oh, you had it all. You had, like, what is your version of success? It's changed for me.
Yep.
I mean, for me, it's completely changed what my vision of success is.
I know. My vision of success was, you know, making a lot of money, having a nice car,
nice house,
going to nice clubs, hanging out with celebrities, all that
stuff. Silk shirts. Big chains.
Silk shirts, Gucci pants, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, now your vision of success is like, damn, I better have God in it, or there ain't nothing.
Uh-huh. God and family. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. And so, like, it's the same thing with me. It was like right when I got that right in my life is when the money came flooding in. And it was like, the money ain't going on me.
Yeah.
The money is going on the research. It's going on the treatments. It's going with the patients. And it's going right where it needs to go, because I knew that God didn't bless me prior to me learning that. Yeah. Because if he did, it would have gone in the wrong place. I would have probably been driving a Lambo, bro. Yeah, just like you with silk shirts and Gucci Gucci.
At clubs, at hookah lounges.
At clubs, throwing up off of hookah. Like.
I'm dead. See, but you have a purpose too. God is moving a good way in your life as well, because he knows the spirit that you have.
Yeah.
And he's giving you that opportunity to change lives as well.
Yeah. I love it. I love doing the work that I do, because I never envisioned or thought like that God was going to have me working with a bunch of, you know, athletes, or that those athletes were going to be my friends. Like, it's not even just like, you know, it's not like I just work with these athletes, you guys. Like, they're my actual friends. Like, yeah. Like JoJo comes over for ribs. I made this girl ribs and yep. shit, you know, like.
They're good ribs.
Yeah, they
weren't dry.
Yeah.
They weren't dry.
I make bomb ribs. Yep. Yeah, I got the smoker and I'll be getting down. But like, you know, my whole thing is like, you guys are my friends. Like, I cared about you. Like, I brought you over. And I always say this over and over again, but it's like, I didn't just bring you over for somebody to pray over you. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that you didn't know how to have that spiritual connection with God. And I remember that experience where I had you shut your eyes and I said, I want you to see his face. Mm-hmm. I want you to wait until you freaking see him. And you were like, I never prayed like that. I never seen him before like that, you know?
And your boy gave me some holy water. He gave me the holy sand, remember?
Yeah.
He gave me all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. A powerful person that he prays. His name is Darren. He's been a good Christian friend of mine for a long time. And I met him through my sister-in-law, Denise. And he's been always there, you know? And so, like, I was, like, willing to try anything for you. And it's, like, where people, they get baptized. In the water, right? And they rededicate their life at that point. And it was like, as people were getting baptized, I started crying, man. Like, I think there's this just love in me of like seeing people turn their life over to God like that.
Yeah.
Like, I seen this girl that was pregnant. She was all tatted up and she's like, God save me from addiction. And then she's pregnant. And I thought, oh my God, like, he saved your life. Save that baby's life, and it's now going to impact so many people through you.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because like, if I didn't get saved and I didn't go through it, then how could I impact my family? How could I impact all these sick patients? And how could I have impacted you? And like, you're impacting so many people, and it's like God works through people.
Yeah,
and he picks the most fucked up people too.
For real, he does.
Like, I'm like, I was a stupid kid that failed science, and I got this biotech. Like,
whoever doesn't know about Raquel, make sure you guys, you know, look her up, look up the stem cells. She's doing a great job, you know, helping people, you know, change lives, not only with the stem cells, but just the vitamins and everything that she has in her brand and in her company. So
there's so many.
Yeah, there's so many stuff. There's so many stuff. There's so many stuff that you could actually help with people by just seeing them. And
I just see them. I do a free consult.
Get a good little interview and then boom.
I know exactly what they need. And when I talk about mind, body, spirit, like, people will come up to me, like, I think Eric said, hey, this girl needs some vitamins. Like, hey, go talk to Raquel. She came back. She was like, no, bro, I need a liver detox. I need this. I need that. And I'm like, you know, like, and then I can also see when people are emotionally dealing with stuff. Like, that stuff be getting them sick too.
Oh, yeah.
So I talk to people about God. I talk to people about community, about like empowering them. So yeah, it's a lot more than just like, I got the research center that drops down. I have a biotech that supplies stem cells all throughout the United States, right? In other parts of the world. I'm working with like Japan, Hong Kong, Korea now, like all kinds of different places. We got Tuto that's through the boxing. He's got fighters out in Japan and stuff like that. And nice. He's talking to people out there about it. We're actually on his boxing ring.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah. Like, All-Star Boxing has us on Revive Us All on the Ring.
Damn, that's crazy.
Out in Japan. Like, it's crazy. Like, I never, asked for that. Yep. And then, like, I never even posted that shit on my Instagram. Like, that just shows you, like, I'm not, like, I don't post half the shit. And it's, like, where my excitement is and where my day-to-day goes as far as, like, I love empowering people. I love seeing people healthy. And I think that's, like, the spirit in me that's, like, I love pleasing God. And it's not like, I don't walk around saying like, oh, I want to please God. Like, no, I just feel so whole in making other people whole. Exactly. And like, I see you and I'm like, damn, he did it, dude. Yeah. Like, you know, like God, like all I had to do was say like, Jojo, come on. Like, I need to pray. I need to teach you how to pray. I need to teach you to God. Then all of a sudden that was it.
Yeah.
Like you didn't need no trainers freaking on your ass. You were showing up freaking grinding day in, day out. You freaking did this discussions. You learned about the budgets. You learned about everything from A to Z. And then you came out and you're like, that's it. I want to be a manager. Mm-hmm. You're already doing that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and now you want to empower the youth and we want to do like how we're going to work together and all this stuff. And I'm just like, damn, it's so crazy how God just uses one person and then just the floodgates come open.
Yeah, it creates opportunity. It creates opportunity to just, you know, show everybody what God is and to who to seek.
I think people talk about it. I'll be honest with you. Maybe we can go into detail about that because people talk about having God in their life.
Yeah.
But like, and they'll say like, oh, I have God in my life. I pray. But it's like, when have you stopped asking God for stuff? And when have you started thanking him?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe practice it like one whole day instead of saying, oh God, help with this. Oh God, help with that. Oh God, I need this. I need that. We all need shit.
Yeah.
But like maybe one day just saying like, God, thank you for this. Like that didn't go that well, but thank you for giving me patience. Thank you for whatever it is, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And it's like, you start with the change of perspective of like, this person has been so compassionate on you and allowed you, giving you free things that we take for granted all the time. Hope.
Freedom.
The freedom of thought. Yeah, like
the freedom of thought. The love. Freedom of just, you know, waking up every day and enjoying your life. The freedom of, you know, just appreciating life, being there with your family, all that stuff.
Like God created such a beautiful earth.
Just be grateful.
Like, it's so beautiful. Everything is so alive outside. Like, I mean, he created, you look at Fibonacci sequence and it's in everything. It's like how we're created. It's our cells. It's like, if you look at how apples are created, everything from like how flowers bloom, everything is Fibonacci sequence.
I know.
Okay. Everything. And God's fingerprint is on everything. There's a creator. He is like the best AI expert. I swear this guy, God is like,
he's the one that created like, AI, man.
He's the ultimate freaking coder. You know, mm-hmm. like we're made of zeros and ones, our DNA. Like he encoded this shit so perfect,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like you either unlock the code and you figure it out that you need God in your life, that he's already there. He's part of your creation. You can't possibly push him out of the way. The absence of God is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
The absence of God is no hope. It's despair. It leads to nothing.
That's crazy how you said that. The absence of God is darkness, because that's what it is. It really is.
Like, what is it? And then we take these things for granted and we act like, oh, we're on the, like, even the bums get to experience hope.
Mm-hmm.
The absence of God is no hope. To have no hope, to have no chance. No, like, we constantly have the ability to wake up tomorrow and say, today I choose not to be an alcoholic. Today I choose to be a loving person. Today I choose to be extra loving, even though it's very hard for me to maybe express my feelings. Today I choose to be an expressive person.
Mm.
And you can choose. That's the beauty of life, is you could choose to wake up and be a new person. You chose to wake up and say, I'm gonna be a new me.
Mm.
And that was it. I woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm tired of this shit. I'm going to be a smart person. I'm going to work extra hard to understand science.
Mm.
I was a stupid kid in science, right? Why? Because I didn't have the role model that said, hey, sit right here and do your homework. Read 2 hours a day. So I was delayed in reading, right? Like, I didn't wake up with no role models. Nobody taught me any of the shit that I know.
Yeah.
But everything's on YouTube, right? You don't need a degree in science
to learn something, right?
Yeah, you don't need a degree nowadays. You look at Elon Musk.
I know,
right? Mm-hmm. He's like doing rocket science. There's not even a degree for the shit that he does. And it's like the shit that I'm doing.
That guy's a genius too,
like,
man.
Nobody taught me about boxing, you guys. Like, I just started, like, you know, bringing these boxers on, being around them and shit like that. And I learned everything. I learned how to be a manager, fucking promoter.
You know what, all that.
Finance director shit. I learned about the fight budgets. I learned about fucking the back end, like on how they let people in the back and shit.
The networks,
like,
all that.
Dude, I learned about all, even the mob politics in the background. I learned about it all. And it's like, nobody taught me it. I'm a visualizer, so I see it and I'm like, I can execute it. Mm. But like, you know, in speaking that, I am partnering with Jojo Diaz here. So
yeah. Pretty soon we're gonna be announcing it pretty soon. Yeah. I'm excited. But all you guys as upcoming fighters, man, make sure you guys just keep working hard. we got your eyes on you.
Yeah, I know. That's like so exciting, yeah. Dude. Oh my God. This guy is just like, he's like, I'm not doing it without you, Raquel. And I'm like, I of course I do this.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I feel like God is well-rounding everything. I'm seeing how the Stem Cell Institutes work, how they're working with the athletes, and then how the athletes are needing, like, they're needing mind-body wellness. Mm. They're needing all that shit. And, yeah. And then it's like, now you're seeing a whole level of new athletes that are being born and, like, rejuvenation.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is awesome. So I understand. I can only
imagine my son and my daughter, how athletic they're going to be. Damn, it's going to be insane.
Well, my kid's already doing jujitsu over there. You see in their little gi.
Yeah, my son's only 3 years old, and he's already throwing jabs, slipping and stuff. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Could you imagine? It's another father-son duel.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like three generations.
Yeah, I'll be
it's
sick.
The next, like, you know, all-star boxing
Xena
shit.
Deal, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll be badass, man.
That's, you already know.
Yeah.
You already know what's going
to
happen.
But we're going to have the foundation for him. Yeah. He's not going to go through the struggles that I went through.
This is like even crazier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like my kids, they're going to medical school. I got a bunch of little doctors walking around in the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's like, I just love empowering the youth. And I feel like that's where they dumb it down in the school system. And they just treat everybody to have a 9-to-5, to have that that poverty mentality. They're not even teaching nobody to be rich. And when I say rich, like spiritually rich.
Spiritually rich, yeah.
You know, like they're not teaching anybody about intent. Mm-hmm. And about, like, you know, confidence and, like, the stuff that really matters that should be. Like, I'm ready to build a school system.
Yeah.
Like, a homeschooling system, you know, like, to teach about well-balanced. It's like, yeah, there's curriculum on one end, but then there's all this other stuff. And it's like, we need more people to, like, expand this world and make it a better place.
Because,
I mean, going down from the politics, it's shit right now, the whole system. The whole court system is shit. Mm-hmm. You know, even going into, like, the jail system, and it's like, what are they really doing for recovery?
I know.
They're not supporting nobody in that jail system. They're making worse.
Doing drugs and shit in there
they're
too.
Making it worse, you know? And it's like, man, what are they really doing to help our society? But man built this world, so man needs to stand up and build something else. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see it. And it's our younger generation that they're going after. And when I say they, we don't know who the fuck they is, but, like, they exist. and it's, like, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like, what they're doing to the kids' society. You look at Japan and you look at their school system, it's an outdoor school system.
I know.
They teach them feng shui. They teach them about energy. They teach them about how chi and flow.
I think they got a teaching as well as programming as well, computer programming as well.
Yeah, they got them doing coding.
They're only 5-6 years old.
Chinese school system, by the time they're in eighth grade, they're like gnarly on coding.
Mm-hmm.
They're building full-on websites. Like, I mean, I put my kids in coding classes. I do White Hat Junior, and that's how they learn how to code. So my kids know how to do basic coding and stuff like that. Like,
oh, wow.
A little bit more than basic coding, but I mean, you got to pay extra to do it. It's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've used on the education system, I went online just like I create a company and I created Apodaca Education. I was like, I ain't even going to put you in another school system. I'm just going to put you in my own homeschooling system.
Yeah.
And, you know, the county came after me and shit. And I'm like, here's the fucking paperwork. I got my own school. I'm like, they're on their own time, dude. Like, you know, and they'll read at, like, you know, 8 o'clock at night for, you know, 2 hours. I mean, they're on their own program.
Yeah.
I let things flow. I don't want no system dumbing down who God built them to be, their personalities. They all got strong personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do education.com up until eighth grade. And then after that, it's like they go to high school and regular private school. But my whole thing is, like, you can definitely homeschool until eighth grade. And, you know, the way I see the school system now is, like, the only reason why you got to drop them off is because mom or dad got to go to work and you need a babysitter.
Yeah.
But, like, you're going to leave your baby with the babysitter that's, like, shit babysitter?
Mm.
Or you're going to leave them with the good babysitter? You got to watch your teachers nowadays, because those teachers,
you don't know
there's
what they're
politics
doing.
Involved over there. So there's certain curriculum that they have to push.
Exactly.
And until it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I was just talking to a freaking educator last night at dinner.
It's like they're being forced.
The educators are fed up. They don't pay our teachers enough to be dealing with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And so, like, you know, maybe there's a kid that's super smart and he's bored because he's got to follow the whole rest of the class. So he's acting up in the back of the classroom.
Yeah.
And now that's a problem child. And he's labeled as a problem child. And his subconscious is getting in that you're a problem child. You're a problem.
You're a bad person.
You're a bad person. Yep. And that little kid is getting fed that.
Mm.
By somebody, and they're not a bad person.
Mm-mm.
Maybe they need one-on-one work. Maybe their learning ways is not, you know, that the teacher's teaching. And there's so many different ways that kids learn. like my daughter Alana, she had to learn by being hands-on. Like, I mean, she had to learn how to read by, like, you know, with examples. We had to do the whole alphabet with chalk, and we had to put like one of her toys, like B is for Barbie, right? And it was like, that's how she had to like remember all of them, is like visually doing it. And she had to learn in increments, and then she was just done. Mm-hmm. But she's got a little genius mind.
Nice.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't want the school system to put them down. I tried to put Heaven in, the one that's in jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. I had to pull her out second year. They tried to say she was behind. This kid is super smart. I said, she's not behind. She's just hyperactive because she would have massive meltdown fits after school. Like, she had to behave all day during school. When she came home, she was full on meltdown.
Damn.
And it was like, well, of course. And then I started looking at the psychology of it. And it's like, yes, these kids can't be who they're meant to be. So they're almost being forced to be a certain way all day, every day. When this kid wants to go outside, she wants to smell the trees. She wants to learn all about the leaves. She wants to ask, why does the sky? The other day she asked me, Mom, well, how does rain work? And I'm already teaching her about precipitation at age 6. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't limit them. You let them learn whatever they want to learn at the limits they want to learn. And by the time they get into high school, they'll know all the shit they need to know.
Yeah.
Like, I did that with Mariah, and she's a freaking honor student. Everybody kept saying, she's going to be behind, she's going to be behind. I didn't know math all the way up into that because, like, you know, I was horrible with algebra. So it was like algebra 1, algebra 2, I couldn't teach her. Mm-hmm. So it was like getting tutors. Then the UCLA tutor started telling her, she was like, yeah, I want to go to UCLA or USC for medical school. Mm-hmm. And then the girl starts telling her, like, oh, you don't need to have those high grades. Like, oh, it's really hard. And I'm like, I'm not paying for you to put those negative words in my daughter's mind.
Yeah.
Like, even somebody with the UCLA degree is telling my kid, well, it's kind of hard. It's not everybody can do it. But I got in. I didn't have to do that well. So you don't have to push that hard. I'm like, those are not things you got to be very careful. My daughter, by the time she got to high school, my daughter knew between right and wrong. If her teachers were saying something, she knew to differentiate and to be able to say, hey, you know,
actually,
what?
Actually, I can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she even knew about, like, her biology teacher knew all about stem cells. She knew all about stem cells. And he was like so impressed. And then another teacher, the daughter got cancer, and she brought up stem cells. And the teacher was like, I don't believe in stem cells because there's no evidence of this. She was able to decipher mm-hmm. that, hey, there's different views, and this person is closed off to the science, the new science. She was able to decipher that. That's why I want to raise them, because by the time they get to high school, they're able to determine what's between right and wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they're little, you're leaving that in somebody else's hands. Yeah. In the school system,
yeah.
In a government program, paid program, where they're forced to feed certain things of like, hey, this is how your child's going to be born. Mm-hmm. And so really, I see them as babysitter.
This is who you are. This is what you want
to
be.
What are they raising? Yeah. They're raising people to work a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. right? To pay their taxes, to be part of the system. They're not raising no entrepreneurs. You want your kid to be like, you know, to get out of that mentality and have an entrepreneur mentality.
Yeah.
Then you got to raise them to be that. My kids got entrepreneur. You know, you should see the way they talk to each other. Like, I'm going to be your boss one day. No, I'm going to be freaking doing better than you one day. Like, they don't have the mentality of, I'm going to go work for somebody.
Yeah.
They don't, because they've only seen me be self-employed and mm-hmm. grinding. You know, that's all they know.
Yeah.
They only see champion athletes around them. Mm-hmm. So, like, what do you think my daughter's saying? She's like, I'm the next champ. She's 6 years old doing a jiu-jitsu. She's like, I'm a champ. I'm a champ. Man. I'm like, the fact that that's what's being fed to her because she's around champs, mm-hmm. you know, that's all they know. So you surround them what you want them. And Einstein said it best. He's like, you give me 12 babies to raise on an island, and I will raise them exactly to what I want them to be by feeding them what I want them to hear.
Yeah.
Because you're feeding the subconscious. If you tell a little baby from day one, you're a champ, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, they're going to believe that. Mm-hmm. That's how these kids are also, on the flip side, being born into thinking that, you know, sexual molestation is okay, because they're born into that.
Yeah.
And they think that, hey, this is the way, because they're being groomed for that. So children are groomed 24/7, no matter what. Either you're going to groom them for something healthy and something better that's going to make a change for this world, or you're going to let them be part of the system, or you're going to use it for bad. right? So we've all been groomed in one way or another. So when you can get out of being groomed like that and change your perspective, it's very hard, JoJo. Like, people don't get out of that.
I know
it mentality is. Yeah. In life, it's extremely hard. Like, people are raised in poor mentality. They stay in poor mentality. And when they get the money, they fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they don't know how to deal with it.
They have that poor mentality still.
They don't even know how to deal with it when they have it.
Yeah.
So the fact that you made it out and you have a respect for money and like you're like getting your shit together is for a reason, man. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm
very thankful, and I live every day with happiness now. Sometimes I still get sad and discouraged, and you know, it's part of life.
But like you're human. What do you get sad and discouraged about?
I just think about like the past and think about things that has happened to me and stuff like that. I mean, it don't affect me anymore, but it still makes me feel a certain type of way.
Yeah.
It gives me that emotion.
Well, I think what you're talking about is the implications of your actions have caused lasting issues that you're still dealing with.
Yes, yes.
And so we do have to deal with our decisions that we made. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's the stuff that you got to accept it. Like, I made these decisions, and so this is what happened because of it. And you got to kind of just swallow it and make the best of those situations.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, I wish that you could be around your son more often, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're this great, amazing dad now.
Yeah.
You know, but when you leave those situations in God's hand, he can fix it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that's where the peace needs to be, is like, you know, you're truly not in control.
Yeah.
You can control yourself to a certain extent as far as like your decisions and all that other stuff, but so you can't control other people, only yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're truly never in control, because God is the one that is ultimately going to have the say.
Yeah. And then if you're doing the right thing, all the right things are going to start following.
Yeah. He opens the doors like the floodgates, man. You can't even handle it. Like,
literally, it's insane.
I mean, like, people are like, how did you got a biotech, an institute, you got a dental practice, you got like, now you're dropping down into like all these different clinics and like, you know, I'm like, now you're going to be like boxing, doing this. And like, you know, oh my God, now you're doing like, you know, what on the foundation? Now you're working with the military boys, like special forces, how they come into it. Like, it's crazy, because you can't even backtrack on like how it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you constantly want to just be like, dude, I'm not worthy for this. It was like what you said about like when you finally made it to your big fight in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, dude, you've seen yourself up on that big screen. It's like, it's all God. It's like, damn,
I did that, man. But you didn't just do it.
Like,
man.
The God fighters, all your fans are like, damn. And you're standing there like, damn, right?
That's
there
me,
with them.
That's
like,
me, yeah.
Dude, like, you're just as shocked as they are. Like,
exactly.
You know, you just feel so honored to be there. And I will tell you, like, I am so excited. You guys got to go pre-buy the fight. It's going to be at the Commerce Casino.
Yeah.
His next fight finally is February 15th. It's a Thursday. Okay,
live,
so plan
on the zone.
For it.
Thursday night. I know it's... it's kind of weird,
it's
but Golden
yeah.
Boy's having a Thursday night fights now. I'll be the first one headlining it. So make sure you guys get your guys' tickets. It's going to be live on the zone if you guys can't make
it's
it.
It's going to be a sold out.
Yeah, I'm expecting all my fans to be there and everybody cheering me on. And I promise you guys are not going to want to miss it.
Dude, you're not going to want to miss this. Like, I'm like, I get chills even thinking about it, because I just can't wait, because I know I'm going to be sitting right up front.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
So I'm like sitting right there and I'm just like, damn, the whole time I'm like sick to my stomach, but in excitement.
Uh-huh.
Because I just fucking love seeing it, dude. Uh-huh. Last time I was sitting with the fighters, like literally right next to all the fighters, all fucked up sitting next to me. Like, and they're like, who the fuck is this girl? You know, I'm like sitting with the family and shit, you know, like, dude, who are you? I'm like, I'm nobody. But like, there's so much emotion of like, dude, there's a backstory to it. It's like, this kid should have freaking gone somewhere else for where he was going. But like, by the grace of God,
there's no other way.
Man, like, he's just, not only did he change, but he's like going back for his belt soon.
Oh,
you
I'm
know?
Coming
like,
for it all, man. I'm coming for the throne again. So make sure all you guys, 135, 140 pounders, you guys watch out.
And this time around, I'm going to make sure you got some badass branded out gear that's being sold online. So everybody branded
She's
out with their hats and their freaking sweaters and all that shit. Because last time JoJo had me looking like a El Monte gangster. Yeah,
that's
where
we're from.
It was like skulls and shit with a hoodie, and it's like baggy. It was like, sorry, dude, all I got is a large for you. I'm like, well, everybody else is baggy. I guess I could be baggy too, you know?
That's right.
I try to put you with some was it Gucci's or what was it? No, Versace.
Oh, Versace glasses.
I had these Versace glasses, yeah, and we were getting ready to do the press conference.
They look like alien glasses.
No, this fool was like, I look like Daddy Yankee. And I'm like, bro, you don't look like Daddy Yankee. You look freaking class. And we're like going over what he's going to talk about in the press conference. I swear to God, you guys, I'm like so involved. I'm like, Jojo, this is what you're going to say. We ain't going to talk about the past because that ain't you anymore, right? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm ready for this. He's wearing the glasses. He's like, yeah, this don't feel right. I feel like Daddy Yankee right now. I need like more gangster vibes. And he puts his looks back on. He's like, all right, I'm ready. I ain't going
for that reggaeton look, man. I know. That ain't me.
I'm trying to have Oscar De La Hoya's sister freaking sing mariachi music for you with a live-ass mariachi
band. She actually sings pretty good, too.
Bad, dude. Yeah. I'm like, I want JoJo. I'm like, I swear, when JoJo gets his main fight like out in Vegas, I'm like, I'm already asking her. I'm like, will you come out and sing? She's like, yeah, of course I would. She, you know how she did that for her brother. Yeah. But I was like, she goes, but I don't think he likes that. Doesn't he like the gangster stuff?
I do. But for my fans, maybe I'll do it.
Yeah, dude, come on. That's like your background, dude. That's like your, who wouldn't like hearing mariachi music and you coming out, dude? That's like
iconic. I was telling my girlfriend that I think after this fight, if everything goes well and I look astonishing, I think I'm gonna do the little Mexican chant.
Yes, I think I'm gonna do a little dude, Mexican chat. You should. I'm thinking about it. So you're representing all of like Mexico and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all the Mexicans, you know what I mean? So you gotta like represent. We gotta have that mariachi music. Be like tequila shots all in the background. It's like JoJo's sober, but everybody else taking tequila shots.
You guys take it for me. Enjoy it for me, guys.
How's your what is it called? Your after party gonna be like this time?
I'm not sure.
Invite the priest, dude, because this shit ain't going on. Better invite the priest, the pastor, the shaman.
I got a couple people already trying to hit me up and stuff like that, but I don't know.
We gotta keep it PG, dude. We gotta keep it healthy.
Yeah, because I'm gonna fight again back in May, so I'm not falling back into
We're not gonna do that.
That route, yeah.
It sounds like I need to be in charge of this freaking after party, dude. Last time we did this San Antonio after party, dude, it was crazy.
And that was fun, though. That was fun.
It was fun, but I would tell you, it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. Because JoJo was like, he was like being so healthy, but then after it was like, dude, okay, please, Raquel, I gotta do some shots. And I'm like, all right. Let's do this. Like all the trainers knew. All the trainers showing up. We're all like fucking old and shit up in this club in San Antonio. I don't know. It was like 30 minutes out of San Antonio.
Yeah.
It was like this ghetto ass club. The balcony that was like a private area looked like it was like tilted down and shit. Like the floors were about to like fall and shit. And then it was like everyone's like, yeah, we got freaking, this world chap up in the house, JoJo Diaz. And all of a sudden it's like his picture pops up and he's like, yeah, and there's like confetti coming down. I ain't never been to no after party like that. And then all of a sudden they brought out the hookahs and I'm like, the hookah what? And he's like, did you take a hit of the hookah? And I'm like, the hookah? So I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden I take a hit of the hookah and JoJo's like, where's she at? And I'm outside freaking vomiting. I'm not even buzzed. I'm just vomiting from the hookah. And he's like, no, you're not supposed to inhale it like that. It's like this grape flavor shit or whatever. It's supposed to be like a Cuban type cigar type of thing.
Put it in your mouth, put the smoke in your mouth.
I didn't know that. I inhaled the whole thing and I'm outside vomiting and I'm like, and then this club is so ghetto. They didn't even have glasses. It was all like plastic little freaking like red cup party and shit like that. This is funny.
But after this celebration, I'll probably just go to dinner and just have fun. I'm going to take my daughter out.
Dude, we ain't doing this no more.
I
looked at your trainers and we're all looking at each other like, damn, dude. And then
we're
all here for you, JoJo. Like, JoJo's friends be coming in. I'm like, damn, dude, this is the VIP. I work all this hard for this to be the VIP. I'm like, man, I should have known. I could have thrown a better VIP party than this. There's better parts of San Antonio than this.
Man, what's up,
who
Texas?
Picked that club, dude?
I have no idea, to be honest. One of my boys.
Dude, don't ever trust that boy again. Dude, that club was like the most horrible club. I swear to God. They're playing like Apple
Bottom
Jeans.
If you ratchet people
want
to go, you guys go there.
With the fur. I was like, damn. I went to this ratchet club in Vegas. In Vegas, it was like on the outskirts. I was like, oh, let's go to a local spot, with my boyfriend. We go to the spot, and it was like, I swear to God, I said, this is San Antonio all over again. He's like, what? He's from San Antonio. So he's like, what?
Yeah, man.
All offended.
I can never get the ghetto out of me. That's for sure.
Well, me too. You know, I like the ghetto music too. Like, believe me, I do. I'm like, I could get down to that ghetto music. But yeah. It was like, there was no glasses. You know how I am about plastic. Yeah. I wanted a glass. I wanted to feel like a little bit like bougie. You know,
yeah,
like,
I feel it.
I couldn't even like go and be like, I want the good shit. Cause there was no good shit there.
For this after party, we gotta keep it healthy. We're gonna get some glasses.
No, I don't like champagne. I'm like tequila, because if I do drink it, I want it to be like the healthier version of like what I could drink. I'm like, oh, anti-inflammatory.
No calories,
anti-inflammatory, you know. But like, for sure, this time, because you've been doing so well, like you've been going to church, you've been doing like, I want to make sure that side of it, because that is the bad side to boxing is there's always the after party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I've been thinking about it. Like, well, what's going to happen with this after party? We got to do something to celebrate, but it's got to be healthy celebration. Like a freaking nice one. Like the priest is pastor for sure showing up. You're getting saged after. we're protecting this aura, because you're gonna fight like right after.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
within the 2 months.
I'm not like really like worried about it, because I have God with me, so I'm not even.
I don't even want that temptation. That I know your friends, your little travieso friends, are already calling you up. Yeah, like, bro, what's going? Like,
not today.
Wait till they come today. To this after party. They're getting saved.
We're gonna have the holy water for y'all.
We're gonna get you. We're coming for your souls next. They're gonna be like, damn, Jojo, this is the girl that you've been hanging out with, you know? Like, we're gonna lay hands on you, boy. I know some of you traviesos, so we're gonna be showing up to those Almani parties. That's like, right. Come on, let's go. And pull you out of there. Oh my God, that is so much fun. Well, I'm excited. We have so much stuff to look forward to, and thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Thanks because for having me again.
I, you know, and we don't really get into detail on treatments and stuff like that, but Jojo has been doing detox program. We've been keeping him health and balance. But like, really, when we take these kind of cases, we're like his medical team here at the Institute. And so like, we just make sure that there's mind, body, spirit there. Mm-hmm. So with this situation, we've been dealing a lot more with just like balance, health. And I did have to get involved in other areas that like I don't normally get involved, but I was totally okay with it. So with you, you're just like a friend. Like, you're not even like a fucking patient here. Like, you come by and you don't even do treatments.
I know, we're eating chicken, all that, salmon. Yeah.
Well, like you just got over a stomach bug. You ate something really bad. And I was like, why didn't you call me of all people? He was like, oh dude, I just ate some Chipotle. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh my God, I'm like, you could have just taken activated charcoal. Why didn't you call me? And he's like, oh shoot, okay.
Now I know better.
But you know, like, that's what we're here for, and we're so excited. I'm so proud of you. It's an understatement. I mean, my like face lights up. I'm like, I'm so proud of you.
I can't
imagine what your mom and dad feel. They're probably going to be at a loss of words, because it's one thing for you to put in the work, but then when you're under actual fight, that's when everybody praises you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really get the praise off the camera, right? Yeah. It's like that day that you win, everybody, all the support comes flooding in. But where was that support all the other times, right? You're used to getting support on those days. But like, I think the support is going to come flooding in, because you're surrounding yourself around good foundation now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Charlene's parents, the fact that they're praying over you and stuff like that, that's huge. And I feel like that's also going to empower your family in another way, because you're going to see the change, that the change is real.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And your dad's like the closest to you. So you were saying that last night, he's seen you fighting and he was like, wow.
He was impressed. Yeah.
The lack of words. Like, whoa, you are fast. Yeah. Like the fastest he's ever seen you.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And it's like, you're so quiet about it, dude. Like, how you, like, you're so pumped when you see yourself. Like, you're pumped, dude. You're pumped at 5:30 in the morning. You're not a morning person.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't a morning person, but now I am, I guess.
Yeah, like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's
like,
insane. It's insane.
I'm so excited. I got the coolest friends. And then your little baby, by the way, is like so cute. The last time she had just been born. So if you guys heard a little in the background,
that was my baby girl.
And she's like looking around like, where my daddy at? Like, she just wants her daddy. And he's so aggressive with how he kisses her. She's like, all over her face. She loves it. She just stops crying, opens her mouth. She's like, oh, what's going on? She's got the cutest colored eyes, you guys. And she's like a little ginger. The cutest little girl.
She's the best. She's the best.
And how's the other baby with her?
He's good. He's good. He actually loves her too. Every time
does he kiss her?
Yeah, he goes and kisses her on her cheek. He's like, I love you, sister.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the best. He's going to be a really good big brother.
He's going to be really knocking out brother. People if they mess with her.
Oh, yeah,
man.
For sure.
If like, it, colored eyes. Yeah, that
if he's not going to take care of it, I'll take care of it.
Oh, man. I think your muscles flinched when you said that.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Nobody's coming around.
Oh, she's so precious. Well, we have the fight. So you guys go buy your tickets February 15th. It's in California at Commerce Casino.
That's correct.
And guess what, guys? My best friend runs Commerce Casino.
Oh.
Hey,
hook it up with some comp
it's
stuff.
my friend Sue, dude, she runs it. I used to go.
I'm gonna be
in Cozumel with her for my 40th birthday, the end of February, beginning of March. If you want to go, I'm gonna go out to Cozumel for a whole week.
Nice.
To celebrate. She's actually going with me. She's my childhood friend since kinder, and she's head of HR there at Commerce Casino.
Oh shit.
So when I used to work at ExxonMobil as a safety medic, they used to freaking I used to go there at like 5 a.m. because they don't have any slot machines there. It's all cards.
Oh yeah.
And so I used to go there and just play straight tables.
Yeah,
dude.
The Commerce Casino
early in the morning.
It's gonna be lit, man. Make sure you guys tune in February 15th. Thank you guys for all your support.
Small. Oh, look at that. He's trying to end this shit.
I have class. That's no, right. He has A class.
No, yeah. He has AA class. They did tell me. But anyways, I love you, bro.
Love you too.
We're checking out. Peace out till the next time.